Sand martins. Sand martins reappeared at the weekend. A friend called me to share the news. She was so delighted to see these little birds flying low over a familiar lake that she was almost moved to tears. It's felt like a long winter. There's a lot going on in the world, yet here they are, back again, and everything somehow feels a little more hopeful. The sand martins she was watching at the weekend have just flown more than 5,000 kilometres to get to this little lake in Wicklow. They are the first of the swallow tribe to arrive, followed by their close cousins, the swallows and the house martins. Their chirps aren't quite so musical as swallows and house martins, but they do all go about together sometimes in big mixed flocks. Like swallows and house martins, sand martins are also impressive migrants. They spend their winters in the Sahel, just south of the Sahara Desert. There, an enormous inland river delta, known as Massina, in central Mali, makes up the largest inland wetland in West Africa. The expanse of swamps, lakes, and meandering braided river channels are a haven for hundreds of thousands of assorted birds, including the little sand martins from Ireland who spend their winters there. They also winter in the vast wetlands of the Senegal River Delta in northern Senegal. These sand martins we watch of an Irish summer are as much West African as they are Irish. By the time these migrants arrive over Irish fields and rivers, they need to replenish energy after their long journey. Just like their close cousins, the swallows and the house martins, sand martins feed exclusively on insects caught in flight. They are familiar with the bounty of midges, hoverflies, and small flying beetles that have sustained their kind for eons. Almost equally as urgent as eating is the task of finding themselves suitable sites to nest. Sand martins aren't the kind of bird who go it alone. They are sociable and live together in large groups, like a commune, though more correctly known as a colony. Traditionally, these sand martin communes are set in tall sandy riverside banks. Unlike swallows and house martins, both of which build nests made of mud, sand martins dig themselves deep tunnels in a sandy riverbank to nest within. Anywhere between a few dozen and a few hundred birds spend the summer season together, side by side in their tunnels. When danger is detected, they warn the others in the community. When conditions are just right for feeding, they fly out together too. And each time they establish a new nesting site for the breeding season, a new nest hole must be excavated. Some hole nesting birds are renowned for their drilling techniques. Woodpeckers hammer with their big strong bill. Kingfishers burrow in riversides too, using their dagger-like bill to carve out a passage. But sand martins never got around to evolving such specialised bills. Instead, they settled themselves upon using their feet, like tiny shovels. First, they balance on the sandbank with one foot, wings and tail outstretched for a steadying effect. With the free foot, they begin to scrape until there's enough of an indent for them to scratch with both feet. There they keep going until the tunnel reaches as much as a metre into the sandbank, which can take a full 2 weeks of serious physical labour. These birds are small, about 12 centimetres long themselves, and remember too that they've just arrived back after 5,000 kilometres of self-propelled flight. Sand martins put most of us to shame. Once settled in, they spend the rest of the summer incubating eggs, tending chicks, sharing the social space with their colony comrades, and venturing out over ponds, rivers and lakes in synchronised insect-eating forays. Dozens of fluttering wingbeats together in the summer sun, dancing over water where they expertly scoop up insect food. Sand martins are currently listed as amber On the list of birds of conservation concern in Ireland, the wet season in West Africa has to be wet enough to sustain the Delta wetlands. Droughts in the Sahel are now far more frequent and severe. And when they arrive back in Europe each summer, our much modified riverbanks are not as accommodating as they once were. When a colony of sand martens takes up residence in a sand and gravel quarry, they're protected by law and must be left in peace until September. And I keep hearing about people who are providing artificial nesting sites in specially constructed sand marten walls. These are regular people going the extra mile to provide safety for sand martens. We do what we must to accommodate each other. Some people, at least, understand what this actually means. With the annual return of these expert and collectively minded birds, I am reminded that seemingly insurmountable odds can be overcome, especially when we look out for one another, irrespective of origin or allegiance.